Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Colonel, if you'll lead the pledge.
I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Again, good morning. Any opening comments from board members before we begin? I know we have a tech quorum today, so assuming how far we get through this meeting with that. Director, I'll yield back to you over there.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, and actually I'll go and do a roll call. Looks like we're going to be a little better than we expected. So Sheriff Daniels is in the room. Commander Figueroa, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you for joining us, sir. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Mr. Johnson's in the room. Ms. Kelly's in the room. Deputy Director Porfiri's in the room. Professor Robinson, can you hear us? Professor Robinson? It looks like you're muted on our end, sir.
What's the code for a muted sign?
It's 5. All right, we'll come back to you, Professor Robinson. We're going to give you advice on how to unmute on this system. Colonel Silbert's in the room, and Chief Oskis is in the room. Sir, even without Professor Robinson being able to communicate with us, we have a quorum, and we'll figure out the technical side of that.
Okay.
Get him back on.
Thank you. We can move right into presentation announcements and then your report.
Okay. I just want to continue to update you on our board vacancies. We still have those 3 board vacancies. I've been in consultation with the governor's office as well as the governor's office for boards and commissions. I'm told that they have at least two board members in the final stages of approval, so I'm hoping, knock on wood, that by next month we'll have at least 2 more positions filled. And again, just as a reminder, that's our big county sheriff and both the officer and deputy positions that are vacant. Monique Cody is your IA for today, should you have any questions related to final action cases. If you could look at your agenda, we're going to pull one case out of our new cases. It is number 7 on your agenda. It's 2021-215 for Harvey A. Calloway. We're going to pull that, and you'll see that on a future agenda. A couple other things. We keep talking about all this change and addition and what we keep adding to our office, but I don't know if he's in the room, but we've added Daniel Romero is added to our advanced training team. So we're really excited. He's a recent Phoenix PD retiree, and he came over to join us. He's got a lot of experience now at the academy, and we know he'll make a positive impact on our advanced training team. Also, it's with a sad heart I announce that we're having 2 departures from our staff. Mandy Faust has decided that she really does want to be retired, so she's going into permanent retirement. So we're very excited for her. As you noticed, she's not here. She wanted no part of any recognition. We're not going to recognize her. We're going to do something privately for her, but that's just her personality. She didn't want that. But I do have Ron Bain here, and Ron is going to leave us as well. Ron is leaving us from a full-time position, but he's been gracious enough. We're going to contract with him. For everyone that knows, he built and has been teaching our Basic Leadership Academy. And it has been, as you know, it's gotten rave reviews all over the state. We've probably trained over 400 people now, close to 400 people. Ron teaches that class. If you've never sat through it, if you went to the summit last year, you might have seen Ron did a snippet of it. It's phenomenal training, very well received. We're really going to miss having Ron on staff, but it's really nice that he's going to come back and we're going to hire him on a contract basis to teach that class. So although he's going to be leaving, we won't see him in the office other than when he's teaching. We'll still have that connectivity to him. So Ron, if I get you to come up. Got a plaque for you.
I was not given the option to not be recognized.
Well, rank has its privileges, Ron. Congratulations very much. Hey, I knew this day would come when you and I met for coffee and we hired you. I knew it was temporary. But again, the leaps and bounds you've pushed advanced training in Arizona Post are insurmountable. And I couldn't be more thankful for everything you've done for us. So I look forward to a continued partnership.
Could I have it? 20 seconds?
Absolutely.
Thank you. This means a lot. And I just would like to say, Mr. Chairman, Director, and to the board, that what Arizona Post is doing with regards to leadership training, it has been doing and continue to do. It's been extremely successful. And I really think that it comes down to 3 factors. One is the leadership, and I sincerely mean this, of the board. director and deputy director Henry, my own boss Mandy Foss, who didn't want to be recognized, so therefore I'm definitely going to recognize her. But incredible leadership, number one, to have a vision, support the vision, make it happen. Number two, the team over here at Arizona Post, and that's everybody. Every single person, I get the benefit of being a talking head in front of an audience, but there's this massive team on both the compliance side and the training side that really gets it done. A lot behind the scenes that nobody gets recognition for in the classes. And then the third thing is that I think is really most important that really makes Arizona law enforcement stand out is the audiences in the classrooms. Your sergeants from your agencies, your first line supervisors, and I see agencies I have the benefit all over the United States, all 50 states, week in, week out. And Arizona and what is happening with leadership training is becoming a model, and I'm not just saying that, in neighboring places like California. In other words, the fact that Arizona Post is doing with regards to leadership training. But a big part of it beyond those two factors that I talked about are the sergeants and first line supervisors in their agencies in these classrooms. They're rock stars. They're absolutely rock stars because we can deliver something solid, but if they're not buying into it and embracing it and delivering it at your organizations, it's not going to happen. And I would put Arizona law enforcement up against any law enforcement agency in the United States. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Ron. I
appreciate you all very much.
Appreciate it.
So.
And Ron's got
it.
Ron, on behalf of the board, thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, can I go back to Kevin Robinson?
Sure.
Ms. Professor Robinson, if you hit *6 on your phone, it should unmute you.
You're absolutely correct. It did unmute.
Sir, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
No, my pleasure. Sorry it had to be remotely.
And then just moving on, I did allude to a little bit, but Ron is teaching a basic leadership academy in classroom 2, and Chuck Miller and Daniel Romero and Heather Lappin are facilitating our executive leadership program in classroom 1. So the building is full today, and again, I'm really excited about the training that we're doing. And with that, I end my announcements, but I'd be happy to go right into my director's report unless the board has any questions.
Any questions? Back to you, Director.
All right, just a few things. I continue to work with IADLIST. As you know, I was elected as the West Coast or West Region for the Executive Committee of IADLIST, and as part of that, I get invites to attend and participate in different committees. We're continuing to work on the IACP, the Officer Safety and Wellness Program I talked to you about about a year ago. That program is all ready to go. We're looking for pilot programs, but the federal government was on travel restriction. I'm told that's going to lift in either May or June. PERPA is going to host a one-day class and as a pilot program, as well as my peer in Colorado is scheduling one as well to work out the bugs, and then we're pushing that out nationally. So I'm really proud of that program. It's an 8-hour officer safety and wellness. I think it's going to be well-received nationally. The other thing, I had a conversation last week with American University out of Washington, D.C. They're doing a study on re-envisioning police training in the U.S. When I read their study, it resonated with a lot of things we're doing on both our advanced side and our basic side, so I volunteered to be part of that committee. So again, I met with the professor last week virtually, and I'll be part of that study committee as they push forward, and they'll be providing recommendations for both basic academy training, middle-level training, as well as executive-level training on a national basis. So excited about that program. A couple other things. IADLIST just put out model post-standards. They've had them previously. They updated them in February of 2022. And it was funny because I was reading through those. A lot of things that they have in there that are from our model policy, we're already doing. It was really refreshing to see. And that was funny because when I got to the end and looked in the appendices, actually they tally or they point readers back to our rules. So again, I think Arizona Post has been put in a very good position from a national perspective on what we do here is right. And I take a lot of pride in that. Again, just a couple other things I'd like to keep you updated on. I'm now the vice chair of the Constable Ethics Training and Standards Board, and, so that's part of one of my duties. Just some facility upgrades. We've had a couple things, and Sean Donegan's the one that runs point on that for us. But we continue to upgrade technology. We keep looking to leverage technology. Classroom 2, we did under your authority about a year and a half ago. We upgraded the technology where we can host and train both live stream as well as Google Meets in Classroom 2. We're in the process of upgrading that same technology in Classroom 1. That should be done by the end of the month. And then just this other thing, if you've ever looked at the sign on the front of our building, it's not a very nice-looking sign. So under Sean's guidance and direction, we're having a new sign installed just to make it a little more professional, to kind of convey the professional image of our organization. And then finally, I talked about it earlier with Daniel Romero from the advanced side, but you're going to see some personnel expansion over the next month or two. We're going to probably add one more to advanced training. We're going to add one more to basic training, and then we're going to probably add two more to our compliance specialists. As we reach out and we engage more and further with our partner agencies, we're realizing that we need more staff to keep up with. We don't want to overpromise and underperform. We want to be able to make sure we meet our expectations. So to do that, we're going to be adding more staff, and our budget can currently sustain that additional staff numbers. And just I always like to tell you what I attended on your behalf. I attended the graduation down in Arizona Western College a couple weeks ago for the academy graduation. And again, I always love attending those things because they do rejuvenate you. And then I had an opportunity a couple weeks ago. Ben wasn't able to make it, but I went with a member of Paul Penzone's staff, and we taught three blocks of law enforcement education to Brophy students. They have an annual event where they bring in people from the community to talk about issues going on in the community, from water to power to police and prosecutors. So myself and a member of Paul Penzone's staff presented to three different classes, which is, again, I really enjoy that kind of outreach and that kind of engagement with the young members of our community. Mr. Chairman, with that, I'll end my executive director's report. I'd be happy to take any questions the board might have.
Thank you, Director. Any comments, questions? Hearing none, thank you. Appreciate it. Moving on to agenda item D, the consent agenda. I'll entertain a motion unless there's discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I can just say this. Mr. Johnson has recused himself from the consent agenda, but we still have a quorum.
Okay, good, good.
Jamie Kelly, I move to accept the consent agenda.
Thank you, Jamie. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next item, item E. Mr. Bracken, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This is a petition by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. The applicant is Nicholas Moore. During the hiring process, Mr. Moore disclosed that he committed a burglary in 1999 when he was 14 years old. Specifically, he broke into a convenience store that was closed for business with the intent to enter and steal items. This was in South Dakota. He was found delinquent of committing third-degree burglary under South Dakota law. Its elements are similar to third-degree burglary in Title 13 ARS. And therefore, this is disqualifying conduct. Rule 109A7 states that the commission of a felony or an offense that would be a felony if committed in Arizona is disqualifying conduct. MCSO, in its petition letter, is correct that the board's analysis should proceed under Rule 105D if his conduct was juvenile in discretion or not. The elements in Rule 105D are in your board communication, which is in your packet. And I understand that an XO with the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office is here today to present the petition.
Come on up, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
The floor is yours, sir.
First off, I'm Russ Skinner, Maricopa County Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy. I'd like to thank the board, the director, chairman for your time and consideration in this matter. Our applicant has come to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office with the intent for employment as a deputy sheriff. And as was described, he did have a blemish in his record reference to when he was 14 years old as a juvenile. With that, he has completed all aspects of our background investigation, has been honest and forthcoming, has completed all those aspects up to this point where we are seeking the board's approval in reference to our petition. Our applicant, Nicholas Moore, is 36 years old. He resides in Rapid City, South Dakota. Since this incident, and to further describe the incident and what has been given, he was ordered unsupervised probation for a year from 2000 to 2001, and restitution set at $3,030.37, which were both satisfied during that time frame. Since the time of this incident, he has served in the U.S. Army from 2003 to 2008 with an honorable discharge, and as a police officer for the Rapid City Police Department in South Dakota from 2015 to 2020, where he left in good standing to return to school on the remainder of his GI Bill. He has stated that he has an intent to further serve his community as a law enforcement officer and has applied with the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, probably to get away from the weather in South Dakota, so hopefully we can welcome him in. He has given the intent and desire to continue to serve if he is given this opportunity and as an Arizona Peace Certified Officer and work for the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office as such. And I'm here to answer any further questions that the board or the director may have.
Thank you, Chief. Any comments, questions? Hearing none. Appreciate you being here, sir.
Again, thank you for your time. Appreciate
it. With that, I'll open up for discussion or entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Joe Fabiri, I move that the board grant the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office petition on applicant Nicholas Moore for waiver based on juvenile indiscretion under AAC R13-4-105D.
Thank you, Deputy Director. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Jamie. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Chief. Good luck with your new recruit. Next agenda item, agenda F, final action cases. First case, 2021-091. Mr. Brackel, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I am the advocate assigned to prosecute this matter, and I am requesting on behalf of the state of Arizona that the board dismiss the complaint in this matter. My request is in the form of a motion to dismiss, a copy of which is in your board packet. Let me provide a little bit of background. 4 months ago, at the November 17th board meeting, the board voted to initiate a complaint on Sergeant Jeff Overton. Three of the allegations concerned whether Sergeant Overton was dishonest in the hiring process with the City of Globe Police Department in 2019. In the months immediately after the board charged Sergeant Overton, post staff had much improved success in communicating with additional witnesses and in acquiring additional records. So specifically regarding allegations number 2 and number 3, as you know, a successful medical examination is a requirement in order to be appointed by an agency. After the board charged Sergeant Overton, post staff learned that Sergeant Overton had told his prospective employer, the City of Globe, the medical history information which was missing from his post paperwork. As such, it is believed that the state of Arizona could not demonstrate by a preponderance of evidence that Sergeant Overton was untruthful in the hiring process. Regarding allegation number 1, based upon additional information obtained by post staff regarding Sergeant Overton's reaction to a shots fired call, post staff believes that the evidence is insufficient to justify the continuation of allegation number 1. And finally, regarding allegation number 4, post staff interviewed the polygrapher who explained that he had made a clerical error in his written report. And as such, Sergeant Overton did not violate a post rule. For all of these reasons, and on behalf of the state of Arizona, I ask the board to grant the state's motion to dismiss the complaint in this matter. Incidentally, the additional information which post staff acquired after the board initiated its complaint includes confidential medical information, and if the board would like to hear that, we would have to go into executive session to discuss that. However, in my motion, it's up to the board if they want to hear it. I believe, though, that the information is sufficient based on the motion that I've presented. Thank you, Mr.
Brackel. Any questions or discussion for going into executive session if needed by a member? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion on this case.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Voskis, I move to grant the state's motion to dismiss a November 17th, 2021 complaint.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Colonel. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Bracto. Next case number 2020-086. Mr. Durant, over to you. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Arizona Post staff and the respondent, Hector Ozuna, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and approval. Mr. Ozuna is not represented by counsel, and I do not believe Mr. Ozuna is present. On March 8, 2020, Mr. Ozuna was employed by the Gila River Police Department. On that day, respondent was off duty at his residence in Casa Grande, Arizona, with his wife. Respondent's wife called 911 and reported that her husband was getting aggressive and requested police response. That call was then disconnected. When the 911 dispatcher called back, respondent's wife stated that the respondent had taken her phone and hung it up. Respondent then placed his own independent call to 911 from his own cell phone. Responding officers interviewed the respondent and his wife and determined that the altercation had been verbal only and did not involve any physical violence. Respondent was arrested for two domestic violence offenses, disorderly conduct, and preventing the use of a telephone in an emergency. The Gila River Police sustained multiple policy violations, and on May 4th, 2020, the respondent resigned from the department in lieu of termination. Respondent entered into a deferred judgment program in the Casa Grande Municipal Court. On September 14, 2021, after successfully completing the deferred judgment program, the court dismissed the charges. I would note, please, on page 2 of the consent agreement, there is a typographical error. On page 2, paragraph 5, it should read September 14th, 2021. The parties to the consent agreement agree that Mr. Ozuna's actions are in violation of post rules, specifically rules 13.4, 109.88, and 812. The parties propose that the board suspend Mr. Ozuna's peace officer certification for a period of 12 months, beginning retroactively to May 5th, 2020, and ending May 6th, 2021. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline for peace officers who have committed similar misconduct. And I'm happy to answer any
questions. Thank you, Mr. Duran. Any questions, comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly, I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for a 12-month suspension of peace officer certification beginning May 5th, 2020 and ending May 6th, 2021.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Deputy Director. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-153. Mr. Bradshaw, over to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Rich Bradshaw, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves a former recruit, James Meddle, with the Gilbert Police Department. He was appointed on May 28, 2021 as a peace officer recruit who was scheduled to begin the Gilbert Police Academy on September 13, 2021. Following his appointment, recruit Meddle remained as an Army specialist with the Arizona National Guard and was on assignment to the Pinal County Sheriff's Office in their corrections facility intake. On October 4th, 2021, his last day to be assigned, recruit Meadow was captured on security video camera, removing a corrections belt from a table with a corrections intake room, putting the belt into his personal backpack. The duty belt was later discovered missing, and following a review of security video, it was reported to the Arizona National Guard. He was interviewed by the Arizona National Guard. Recruit Meddle admitted to taking the duty belt and admitted he had no intention to return it. The Arizona National Guard made their findings known to Gilbert PD, and Recruit Meddle was released from employment as a probationary employee. According to the information provided, the duty belt was valued at $201.62, making the theft a Class 1 misdemeanor. However, Pinal County did not wish to pursue prosecution. On November 17, 2021, the board initiated on this matter, and a complaint was sent to recruit Meddle by regular and certified mail. According to the United States Postal Service tracking, recruitment will receive the certified notice of complaint on November 29, 2021, and to date has not requested a hearing or contacted Arizona Post staff. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board deny recruit metal peace officer certification. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Bradshaw. Any comments, thoughts? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and deny peace officer certification to Mr. Metal.
Thank you, Chief.
Second.
Thank you, Deputy Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Bradshaw. Next case, 2021-177. Ms. Nichols, floor is yours. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Darcy Nichols, one of your compliance specialists. This case is the final action for Matthew Karen. The board initiated proceedings against Recruit Karen certification during the January 2022 board meeting. Complaint notices were sent via regular and certified mail to Recruit Karen's address of record. The notice sent by regular mail was not returned to post. The notice sent by certified mail was delivered to an individual at the address of record on January 29, 2022. Neither Recruit Karen nor anyone representing him have contacted Arizona Post to request a hearing. To briefly summarize his case, Recruit Karen applied and was appointed to the Goodyear Police Department. A review of his background file revealed that he had disclosed sexual contact with a 17-year-old female who was incapacitated by alcohol during his pre-polygraph interview. Recruit Karen was 21 or 22 years old at the time of this occurrence. Recruit Karen provided false information to Goodyear Hiring Unit personnel when he was questioned about the disclosure. He ultimately admitted to lying about this incident because he was embarrassed and scared. The Goodyear Police Department submitted a termination report effective September 9, 2021 for Recruit Karen. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board deny Recruit Karen's peace officer certification. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols. Any comments, questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly, I move to accept the findings of facts and conclusion of law and deny peace officer certification to Mr. Karen.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Colonel. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Moving on to agenda item number G. Thank you, Ms. Nichols. New cases. First case, 2021-191. Blanco. Good morning. Floor is yours.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Michelle Blanco, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves current Arizona Department of Transportation Enforcement Compliance Division Officer Ronnie Johnson. Officer Johnson has been employed with ADOT since January 2017. On July 6th, 2021, Officer Johnson applied to the El Mirage Police Department for the position of Police Officer Lateral. On September 25th, 2021, Officer Johnson underwent a polygraph for employment with the El Mirage Police Department. During his pre-polygraph interview, Officer Johnson disclosed he used his ADOT mobile data computer to query a VIN for a vehicle his mother was purchasing in Texas. The vehicle did not have a title and he wanted to determine if the vehicle was stolen. Officer Johnson then advised his mother that the vehicle was not stolen. Officer Johnson violated ADOT agency policy and ARS 41-1756.A.2 unauthorized access of criminal history when he queried the VIN without legitimate law enforcement purposes. On September 27, 2021, the El Mirage Police Department reported this misconduct to ADOT. On September 30, 2021, El Mirage Police Department reported this information to Arizona Post. On November 2nd, 2021, ADOT conducted an internal investigation and it was determined that Officer Johnson conducted the query on November 25th, 2020. between 10:20 and 10:21 hours while on duty. ADOT did not submit criminal charges on Officer Johnson. Officer Johnson received a 40-hour unpaid suspension from December 14, 2021 to December 17, 2021. This compliance specialist confirmed with Arizona DPS, the CJIS Access Integrity Unit, that the query does not appear to be for legitimate criminal justice purposes. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings. Does the board have any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Blackwell. I think you're going to get some questions on this one. Okay. Any questions, comments?
Yeah, I have a couple.
Colonel.
So I'll just tell you, at our agency, I have zero tolerance when somebody runs someone for personal reasons, in the sense of, hey, I want to run that person because I want to go on a date with them or something like that, or there's personal, some type of personal gain or something to that effect. I don't see that with this case. You know, I think we do have to look at what the person was doing, what the motive is. I don't know how well he articulates this. I don't know what the situation was with this vehicle. But I find it very different to run a VIN of a vehicle to discern whether or not this vehicle possibly has issues, in light of the fact that in the state of Arizona, well, in all states, we have such an issue with vehicle theft, VIN switches, things like that. So I could almost argue in this case there is a legitimate law enforcement purpose for the fact that he would run the VIN. My issue is when people run people because there's a personal interest in it. Like I said, I find a huge differentiation in what this person did and what we will terminate zero tolerance for with regard to doing it for some type of personal gain or reason. I just think there's a significant difference here. I'm surprised, actually, that we're seeing this case, and this case specifically went that far. I guess by the letter they could say this wasn't an authorized use, but I don't know if possibly he articulates it differently. It could be. I struggle with this one. Let's go any further.
Mr. Chairman.
Deputy Director.
To the Colonel's point, if this individual's mother had gone to ADOT or MVD mm-hmm. customer service and asked this exact question, here's the VIN number, I desire to purchase this vehicle, it has no title, I'm trying to determine if it has got any particular issues that I should be aware of before I finalize this purchase, would ADOT or MVD have provided that information?
Honestly, he could have Googled it online because Google has a free VIN check.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, we share some of the exact same concerns that the Colonel pointed out and that Deputy Director Raveri pointed out. That's why we contacted DPS's integrity unit to see what their take was on that. We also recognize the difference between running someone, like the Colonel's point, where you want to date them or you want to know where they live or you're checking up on a former spouse or a former, you know, significant other. We do recognize the difference, but due to the letter of the law, that's why we're presenting it to the board. But again, the board has complete discretion to take whatever action or no action as they deem fit.
Thank you, Director. And I would echo Deputy Director and the Colonel's comments on that, too. I think the intent's most important here. So any other discussion, comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we take no action and send this back for agency discretion.
Second. Thank you, Colonel. Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Blanco. Next case, 2021-202. Mr. Caldwell, the floor is yours, and good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good morning. Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves former Salt River Police Department recruit Pablo Hugo, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. On October 1st, 2021, a woman named Katie met with Eloy Police Department officers and said she had been in a long-term relationship with Pablo Eupicio, a Salt River police recruit. In the last year and a half, things had deteriorated between them, and officers noted multiple bruises on both her arms and her chest. They also later described Katie as being visibly upset and distraught. Katie reported that during an argument on September 23rd, Hugh Capiccio struck her in the face, chest, and legs with his fists. She also stated he physically assaulted her on both September 27th and September 28th, 2021. Katie added that the two had previously worked together at a correctional facility, and she frequently called out of work due to his abusive behavior. Officers interviewed Katie's mother, and she stated that on September 24th, 2021, she noticed Katie had bruising on her chest and her face was swollen. Katie told her mother Hugh Capiccio had gotten mad and punched her. During an interview, Hugh Capiccio denied assaulting Katie, but did admit that the two had been arguing. He was arrested and charged with domestic violence-related disorderly conduct and assault. His criminal case is pending in Eloy Municipal Court, and pretrial conferences are scheduled for April in this case. As this involves possible denial of certification, notices were mailed to recruit Hugh Capiccio's address, informing him of a possible rule change that could affect the way these cases are handled by the board. The notices provided information on how he could request a delay until the possible rule change occurred. Neither he nor anyone representing him have requested such a delay. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Any questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if I should recuse myself since my agency investigated this or not.
Mark Brachtel speaking. Chief Vasquez, did you yourself participate in the investigation and any facet of it?
No.
No. And in that case, it's not necessary to recuse yourself statutorily. However, if in your position, if you see an appearance issue, you certainly can, based on appearance. Otherwise, there is no need, Chief.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to initiate proceedings to deny Mr. Hugh Capiccio's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Colonel.
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next case, 2020-193. Mr. Dalton. Oh, we got a replacement here.
We got a fill-in for Mr. Dalton's in a class today, so we'll have a fill-in.
All right. Good morning.
Thank you, Ms. Heckle.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Arlene Heckle, one of your compliance specialists. I will be presenting this case on behalf of Mike Dalton. On September 21st, 2020, recruit Christopher Del Pozo started the Phoenix Regional Police Academy after being hired by Phoenix PD. During the first week of the academy rules were discussed by Lieutenant Montoya and Sergeant Singer. One of the rules stated no use of tobacco products, which includes vaping products, on the campus. On October 20th, 2020, recruit training staff informed Sergeant Singer that another recruit had witnessed recruit Del Pozo was using a vape pen during a break near the restrooms. Sergeant Singer went to the classroom and had recruit Del Pozo step out. He explained he wanted to talk to him about a possible academy rule violation and it could be dealt with through discipline. However, if recruit Del Pozo lied, it was grounds for termination from the academy. Sergeant Singer then asked if he had been vaping on campus, and recruit Del Pozo said no. He said he does vape, but never on campus, and leaves his vape pen either in his vehicle or in his locker. He also said he never had his vape pen in the classroom or on his person. He denied using his vape pen by the restroom building. On October 21st, 2020, Sergeant Singer contacted the recruit who had reported the incident, recruit Fragoso. She told Sergeant Singer that she was by the restrooms and saw recruit Del Pozo pull something out of his pocket, turn away, bring it up to his mouth, and when he turned back, she could see smoke coming from his mouth. Sergeant Singer was then contacted by the squad leaders of the class, and several more recruits had witnessed recruit Del Pozo vaping on the academy grounds as well. Sergeant Singer re-interviewed recruit Del Pozo, and recruit Del Pozo said he knew it was against academy rules. He then admitted he had used his vape pen, but it was unintentional. It was simply out of force of habit. He also admitted that he had lied to Sergeant Singer yesterday when he was asked about vaping on campus. Recruit Del Pozo was dismissed from the academy, and he was terminated from Phoenix PD. It should be noted this case was placed on hold at the request of Mr. Del Pozo, pending the board's decision regarding temporary denials. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Heckel. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to initiate proceedings to deny PSOS certification to Mr. DePozo.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Thank you, sir. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Heckel. You stay with the rest of us. Okay. Next case, 2020-137. Ms. Heckel, back to you.
Arlene Heckel, again, from one of your compliance specialists. Again, I will be presenting this case on behalf of Mike Delton. During the fall of 2019, Harmony Hazlett began the hiring process with Phoenix Police Department. She was hired by Phoenix on December 2nd, 2019, and began the Phoenix Regional Police Academy on January 17th, 2020. In May of 2020, Phoenix PD received an anonymous complaint that recruit Hazlett had been an actress in several pornographic videos. Phoenix PD Employment Services found evidence that recruit Hazlett had used the name of Lacey Johnson in these videos. They also determined that none of this information was disclosed by recruit Hazlett in her hiring background. Employment Services then provided the information to the Professional Standards Bureau, who began an internal investigation. On May 27, 2020, recruit Hazlett was interviewed by Professional Standards investigators. She admitted to her activity in the films. She admitted to intentionally omitting this information in her background investigation because she was extremely embarrassed. She admitted that she had used the different name only for the videos and that she doesn't associate herself with that name in any other avenues. Recruit Hazlett resigned from the Phoenix PD at the conclusion of her interview. Phoenix PD sustained allegations of lying during an apartment criminal or administrative investigation. It should be noted this case was placed on hold at the request of former recruit Hazlett pending the board's decision regarding temporary denials. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Deckel. Any questions? Comments? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Joe Porfiri, I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification to Ms. Hazlett.
Thank you, sir. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Kevin Robinson.
Thank you both. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-237. Is that... We got a new one. Ms. Blanco, back to you.
We're sharing the burden, sir.
I can see that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Michelle Blanco again, one of your compliance specialists. I'm presenting this case today on behalf of compliance specialist Mike Delton. This case involves current Phoenix police officer Donnell Lindo. On November 23rd, 2020, Officer Lindo was working off-duty security in full uniform at Spectrum Mall. Uniformed security guards requested Officer Lindo to trespass a subject later identified as Brandon, who they believed to be shoplifting on the property, but the store did not desire prosecution. Officer Lindo escorted Brandon off the property. He attempted to recover the stolen items from Brandon. Brandon was argumentative. He refused to return the stolen items and used racial derogatory street slang noted on page 2 of your case overview towards Officer Lindo. Officer Lindo, unsuccessful in his attempts to de-escalate the situation, changed tactics and used the same racial derogatory street slang to build rapport with Brandon. Officer Lindo eventually recovered the stolen items. Officer Lindo was returning to his security duties when Brandon drove his vehicle to a stop in front of Officer Lindo. Officer Lindo observed the driver's door open rapidly and Brandon exit the vehicle with clenched fists. Brandon pulled up his pants and yelled, quote, "What did you say, blood?" unquote, and ran towards Officer Lindo. Officer Lindo, anticipating Brandon wanted to fight, used the impact push to create distance between himself and Brandon and made a derogatory racial comment towards Brandon. Brandon subsequently was arrested and later pled guilty to aggravated assault on a police officer. Officer Lando's use of profanity came to light during a standard review of Phoenix by a Phoenix lieutenant. Officer Lando's use of profanity came to light during a standard review by a Phoenix lieutenant who forwarded the body-worn footage to Phoenix PSB for review. An internal investigation was conducted. On January 19, 2020, Officer Lando was interviewed by Phoenix PSB and he admitted to using profanity towards Brandon, but did so because normal conversation was not getting through, so he tried to communicate in the same language Brandon was using towards him. Officer Lindo received a 40-hour suspension for unprofessional conduct, but remains employed with the Phoenix Police Department. Officer Lindo contacted Arizona Post personnel and advised that he and Brandon are of the same race, and Brandon did not respond well to the initial style of communication, so therefore he changed tactics and started to use the same language Brandon used in an attempt to de-escalate the situation. Arizona Post staff has no recommendation in this case, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Blanco. I bet you get some questions on this one, too. I'm just guessing. Any questions, comments?
Yeah, I've got a couple. So I think this case is more significant to the board than possibly many cases we'll hear. We have an officer of the same ethnicity of the suspect. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Make sure I'm clear on that. And we have a vernacular word that was used that is unacceptable to I think I can speak for the entire board. It's unacceptable to all of us. I think it's difficult to say, but you have to be pragmatic about the fact that in some cultures there's vernaculars that are used within an ethnicity or a culture that for some within that culture appear to be acceptable to one another. Not all. Nobody can speak for any entire ethnicity or culture. We come back to this because we come back to the use of foul language at times in law enforcement and in the heat of the moment, things such as this. You have a 24-year-old police officer here who I'm guessing at 24 years old at best. How long have you been a police officer?
Since 2016.
Okay. So he's been a police officer only a few years.
I'm sorry, since
2018, right?
Yeah.
So he's been a police officer for a very short time, in the big picture, at least in my career, big picture of how careers go. And we've just there's some conundrums here. I'll tell you, my gut is that it goes back to the agency at the agency discretion and whatnot. But we've got a conundrum here because I'm noticing that the manner in which that word is stated and the spelling of that word herein is being utilized more and more frequently in cross ethnicities culturally in our country. It's something I grew up with in huddles at football games, in locker rooms, and in other areas where I grew up with that same pronunciation. It's a word I was raised to believe is vulgar, that's not supposed to be used, period. But the point is, we could face this again. And the difficulty is going to be, if we face this again, and that word is used by somebody who is other in this ethnicity, how we're going to deal with that in the future. I think that's why we have this board, is that we have to review context, and we have to review what was involved, and it's difficult because if I thought for 1 second there was hatred, racial hatred involved in what this person said, this is the easiest decision I'll probably make in a year, you know, to say take action and move it forward. But I don't see that here. I see that this is both a cultural and ethnic issue by the way this officer describes it. And he actually, for a young officer, does a good job describing that. But I guess I'm making this statement to the board because we have two things that we're facing. We have a word that is vulgar to all of us, but a word that has become more mainstream, shockingly, by this specific pronunciation, not the formal pronunciation of the expletive, in our culture today, and cross-ethnicity. And it's something we could face in the future. So I think it's just we have to always keep in mind these cases are fingerprints. Each one is an individual, and each one has to be judged in that context. So I guess that's it. I'm just kind of making more of a statement because this is actually a more significant case than I think we will realize going forward as we deal with it.
Thank you, Colonel. Well stated. Any other comments, thoughts, questions?
Mr. Chair, to the Colonel's point, and I'm in line with your comments and your thought process is associated with agency discretion potential. Having said that this is a very important decision for the board and that we are likely to see more of these in the future, what obligations, what can we do as a board, future-oriented? This individual received a 40-hour suspension from his agency who has chose to retain his employment at this point pending the outcome of our decision. Is 40 hours sufficient in the context of the conversation that we're having? Is there options, alternatives from a board position to refer an individual to a level, to additional training, some remedial, or direct an agency that 40 hours is acceptable, but we want more?
There's nothing in our rules that allow us to do anything like require training. Now, you can make a recommendation. I'm happy to reach back to the agency head to say the board thinks this person should receive more education, more training, whatever it might be, but there's no mechanism for us to enforce that. The board has the ability to revoke, suspend, or take no action, but other than that, there's no other thing where you would have jurisdiction over someone's certification in that manner.
Understood. Thank you, Director.
Any other comments, suggestions?
One thing, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Professor. Go
ahead. It's Kevin Robinson. Thank you. You know, the one thing I would mention, and I believe I probably have had these conversations with Director Silbert in the past. I think it really comes down to professionalism that particular organization wants people to know, or wants the community to know that they are about. If that makes sense, I don't like the word. I don't use the word. I find it offensive for a variety of reasons. And I agree with what Director Silbert said and Colonel Silbert said, because, you know, like I said, it's in our vernacular. All kinds of folks are using it for whatever reasons. But we're law enforcement officers, or, you know, these are law enforcement officers we're talking about. And I just think the standard needs to be established that there are certain things we will or will not do. And that's just one of them. For me, it comes down to professionalism, and I think that's the only comment I really want to make about it.
Thank you, Professor. Any other comments? I'll entertain a motion.
I'm going to make a motion to take no action and send this back for agency discretion.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, sir. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, see I was saying aye.
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 All opposed, say I'm saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-181. I go back to you.
Chairman, members of the board, Arlene Hecko, one of your compliance specialists again. I will be presenting this case on behalf of Mike Delton. Christopher Pacino was hired by the Flagstaff Police Department and began the Phoenix Regional Police Academy on September 13th, 2021. During recruit introductions, Recruit Pacino advised he was a Marine Corps special operator. Due to some staff members being previous active duty Marines, they questioned if he was an actual operator or just attached to that unit. He advised he was an actual operator. On September 14, 2021, Recruit Pacino was pulled over by the Department of Public Safety trooper for speeding. It was discovered that Recruit Pacino was in violation of registration and insurance requirements. He also arrived at the academy in uniform without obtaining a haircut, which he had received a direct order the day before to get one. All of these are academy violations. It was noticed that Recruit Pacino had not been prepared for the academy, was having difficulty responding to academy staff, and had little to no enthusiasm. Staff became suspicious of his military involvement in the special operations community. One of the recruit training officers, RTO Myers, contacted Flagstaff Police Department and obtained a copy of Recruit Pacino's military discharge paperwork. The paperwork confirmed Recruit Pacino was in the Marines, but there was no evidence that he was a Marine Corps special operator. Recruit Pacino was called into a conference room and interviewed by Academy staff about his military assignment. Recruit Pacino gave the same information and even added some specialty schools that he had attended and that he had been a reconnaissance Marine. None of the additional information was on the military paperwork either. After confronting Recruit Pacino with his discharge paperwork, he admitted to lying because he wanted others and himself to believe he was an operator. He did say he was attached to the Marine Special Operations Battalion as a primary marksmanship instructor, but never as an actual operator. And this was verified by all of his military paperwork. Recruit Pacino was dismissed from the academy that day for dishonesty and several other academy rule violations. The following day, Recruit Pacino was terminated from the Flagstaff Police Department. It should be noted this case was placed on hold at the request of former Recruit Pacino pending the board's decision on regarding temporary denial. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Heckel. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly, I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Pacino.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chair, John Johnson, I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? And for the record, if we can note Chief Bach is out of the...
Yep, we got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Next case, 2020-180. Ms. Heckel.
Arlene Heckel, one of your compliance specialists. Before I get started on the summary, I would like to advise you of a correction in the overview that was supplied to you. On case note number 2, the department investigation was actually obtained in the year 2020, not 2021. Officer Meeks worked at the Peoria Police Department from 2000 to September of 2020. On July 9, 2020, Peoria police detectives arrested a suspect on child molestation, sexual exploitation of a minor, and other charges. On July 13, 2020, a citizen named Lisa called the Professional Standards Unit and was inquiring why the suspect was not arrested a year prior when she had reported the same type of activity of that suspect to Officer Meeks. An investigation was initiated, and Professional Standards investigators learned that Lisa had called the Peoria Police Department on September 16, 2019 to report that a person she knows admitted to her that he had molested children and had child pornography on his computer. Officer Meeks called Lisa because she lives out of state. Lisa emailed screenshots of the messages the suspect had sent her over Facebook Messenger. She was worried there could be multiple victims due to the messages. She had two possible addresses for the suspect in Peoria, but thought he might have moved to Phoenix recently. Lisa emailed Officer Meeks the following day the suspect's actual address, which was in Peoria. On September 24, 2019, Officer Meeks submitted a non-criminal agency assist report. Lisa and Officer Meeks exchanged several emails during the next month in which Lisa was asking for updates on how the case was going. Officer Meeks advised the report was done and he was waiting for detectives to look at it. He also advised in another email that he would check with detectives to see what the status was. On August 5, 2020, Officer Meeks was interviewed by Professional Standards investigators. He remembered the case and remembered talking to Lisa. He advised he read all the information that Lisa had provided but felt there was no elements of a specific crime. He wrote the report as a non-criminal agency assist because Lisa had thought he had moved to Phoenix. He did not remember why he did not include the specific address that Lisa had given him the following day and why he had not put it in the report even though it was supplied to him prior to submitting the report. He also did not remember why he didn't change the type of report because he knew the way the report was written as a non-criminal report, it would not go to detectives. And he also did not remember why he told Lisa that detectives would look into the case when he knew they would not. Professional standards sustained allegations as unsatisfactory work performance, failure to take action, and conduct unbecoming. On September 4th, 2020, Officer Meeks was terminated from the Peoria Police Department. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Hecker. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to initiate proceedings against Mr. Meeks, Peace Officer Certification.
Thank you, Colonel. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2020-110. Ms. Echo, back to you.
I'm going to recuse myself from this.
For the record, Colonel, recuse himself.
Arlene Heckel, one of your compliance specialists. Trooper Wiley worked for the Arizona Department of Public Safety from June 2016 to June of 2020. On April 15, 2020, a defense attorney contacted their Maricopa County Attorney's Office to report possible misconduct by Trooper Wiley, who had arrested her client, Katrina, for DUI after she had had an accident. Katrina reported to her attorney that she believed Trooper Wiley was hitting on her the night of the accident, and then tried to contact her on social media about a week later. DPS Internal Affairs investigators contacted Katrina for the investigation, but she refused to be interviewed. On April 17, 2020, Trooper Wiley was interviewed by investigators. He remembered the accident that Katrina was involved in, but stated the conversation he had had with her was only to build rapport and not anything that was inappropriate or flirtatious. He said that somehow her profile had showed up on his Instagram account, possibly as a someone you may know contact, but he did not specifically look for her on social media and they had no contact through social media. He also said he had never tried to contact someone on social media after a law enforcement contact. During a second interview, Trooper Wiley advised he has had people contact him through social media after a law enforcement contact. He gave the example of a woman, Matea, who he had arrested on a DUI accident charge in January of 2020. He had contacted her at the hospital and left a business card for her. He said the business card does not have any social media information on it, but he was contacted by Matea on his social media account several days later. He admitted he had met her for lunch and she went with him to a tattoo shop, but there was no further contact or relationship. On April 23, 2020, Matea was interviewed by Internal Affairs. She advised that after the accident, Trooper Wiley was at the hospital and asked for her Snapchat information, so she gave it to him. She advised he contacted her, and they dated for about a month. This was a consensual relationship, which included sexual activity. She did not think Trooper Wiley had done anything inappropriate, and they had just not worked out. On May 6, 2020, Trooper Wiley was interviewed for the third time and admitted he had seen Matea several times and had taken her to his apartment several times. He still denied a sexual relationship with Matea, and he said that he did not intentionally lie about this relationship, he just didn't remember it. DPS sustained allegations of dishonesty and conduct adverse to the department. Trooper Wiley resigned from DPS on June 10, 2020. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Heckel. Any questions, comments? If not, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Wiley's Peace Officer Certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chair, I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Echo. Final case of the day, 21-184. Ms. Nichols, the floor is yours.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Darcy Nichols, compliance specialist. This case involves Goodyear Police candidate Matthew Ramirez. Matthew Ramirez applied to the Goodyear Police Department and was appointed on August 21, 2021. The new hire audit revealed that during his background investigation, candidate Ramirez disclosed he'd run a friend's license plate approximately 3 to 5 times because his friend was reportedly having difficulty with the online MVD function. Candidate Ramirez was employed as a police aide with the Flagstaff Police Department at the time of his egregious use. The Goodyear Police Department hiring unit was informed of this disclosure. They indicated that they had also noticed it and had contacted the DPS egregious integrity unit. They were told this type of egregious use would be left up to the agency to determine discipline. Goodyear interpreted this to mean that the agency would be them, since candidate Ramirez was in the hiring process with them at the time. I contacted the DPS egregious integrity unit, was informed this type of egregious use was considered to be for curiosity purposes as opposed to law enforcement purposes. I was told that the Flagstaff Police Department would have jurisdiction over initiating an audit of candidate Ramirez's egregious use. The Goodyear Police Department was notified of this information and the candidate Ramirez's new hire audit was denied. Notices were mailed to candidate Ramirez's address of record, informing him of a possible upcoming rule change that could affect the way cases involving denial of certification were handled by the Arizona Post Board. The notices provided information on requesting a delay in his case until the possible rule change occurred. Candidate Ramirez later contacted me and requested such a delay. The Flagstaff Police Department was contacted and informed of candidate Ramirez's disclosure. An administrative investigation was initiated. During the investigation, candidate Ramirez stated that he used the mobile data computer to run the plate of a fellow Flagstaff police aide, Zachary. He stated that he intended to run the plate one time, however, he might have hit the button 3 to 5 times because the MDC returns were running very slow. He confirmed he ran the plate because Zachary was having difficulty with the online database and wanted to see if the vehicle registration was current. He stated he felt it constituted a criminal matter as Zachary potentially ran the risk of driving with an expired registration. Former Flagstaff Police Aide Zachary confirmed that he asked candidate Ramirez to run his plate as he was having difficulty with the online MVD database. Zachary could not recall whether he attempted to contact MVD to resolve his problem or not. Arizona DPS conducted a search of the vehicle license plate, revealing it was accessed 4 times by candidate Ramirez, twice on February 3, 2020, once on March 11, 2021, and once on April 15, 2021. During this time, candidate Ramirez possessed a level B talk certification. Candidate Ramirez told the Flagstaff investigator he could not remember running the plate on different days and didn't know why he would have done that unless it was related to a parking complaint. Candidate Ramirez did not recall any related parking complaints. The Flagstaff Police Department sustained policy violations for misuse of the information technology and protected information policies. No further action was taken since candidate Ramirez was no longer employed by the agency. Candidate Ramirez is currently employed by the Goodyear Police Department as a police aide, and in this capacity has access to CEGIS. Excuse me. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols.
Comments?
Questions?
I think I go back to the same one. This is similar to the case we had before. What was the intent of what he was running? Was he trying to do this for some kind of gain, personal interest, something like that? Or was he legitimately checking to see if there was a problem with this person's registration and plates? Is that correct? That's what he did?
That is correct.
So if he was driving down the street and a citizen waved him over and said, I think my registration is expired or something to that effect, can you please check for me because I've not been receiving my mail, this, that, whatever the challenge would be, would we run that for him? We would. I think we always have to look at what the spirit of it is and what the motive behind it is. So I know where I am on it.
Any further comments, questions, or I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board take no action and defer to the agency in this matter.
Thank you, Deputy Director. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Colonel. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Any Anybody opposed? Am I saying nay? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. That concludes our new cases. Next item, future agenda items. Director, back to you.
I have nothing specifically, but as always, happy to entertain any ideas or anything you would like us to look into.
Thank you, Director. Any final comments from members?
I do have a question. If the summer July meeting is planned for being here, if we're going to be...
We're, unless the board directs otherwise, we're just going to cancel the July meeting because historically we've done it up north. We've pared it down. It just didn't make any sense to me economically to do that. So we're gonna, we would just skip July and resume in August if that works for the board.
Comments on that?
We're just going to have an ugly August.
We'll keep it relatively
somewhat ugly. Any other comments? Not. Thank you, staff and post, and I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Moved.
So moved. See you all next month. Be safe. Take care.